there'll be fundamental differences in the way people consume the content, fundamental differences in what my podcast audience desires from my content versus my broadcast audience in its car in the morning listening in real time.
There could be trouble ahead for broadcast radio unless it learns a thing or two from podcasting. On this podcast from PodTech News, a chat with Gartner analyst Laura Behrens on the co-evolution of these two formats. I'm Michael Johnson. Gartner analyst Laura Behrens says broadcasters will have to consider which will best serve their target audience, live radio or time-shifted audio. I'm Michael Johnson for PodTech News, and I spoke with Behrens at the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, where she headed up a panel called Radio, Poised for a Comeback.
One of the things that radio has always had is that it's live. And so the immediacy of that live content is still a real important piece of radio. That people want to shift content in time is a concept that strikes fear in the hearts of a lot of broadcasters. Finding a way to understand what pieces of their content are compelling for radio because they are live, immediate, local, and understanding what pieces of their content could thrive in a time-shifted environment, and then offering them for time-shifting, you know, packaging them as podcasts, understanding those dynamics of their content. The broadcasters who see that and begin to package content in that way are going to have the opportunity to succeed in both venues, both broadcasting and in a podcasting kind of world. And plenty of them are doing that. The public broadcasters, for example, whose programming works more like finite programs than a lot of music radio stations, for example. But the music stations will be able to do that too. The morning show, as heard on radio stations, is not an unlikely candidate for some of that repackaging, repurposing, and sending to people, using the push technologies.
Now, there's got a lot of places that are kind of surviving because of their name. You know, they've gotten the big name. They would step right into podcasting and into the time-shifted, you know, universe, if you will, whatever moniker you want to put on that. Now, what kinds of things, I mean, you just named that they're going to, you know, the folks that are thinking, what kinds of things are they going to have to think about in the basics of how they present a production or a recording or an event that's going to be different about how they've been thinking about it in the radio world?
Well, you've hit a real key question. It isn't just make a shorter version. It isn't just run the skimmer tape and put the continuity on the air, to use old radio terms. It isn't just excerpts from. There'll be fundamental differences in the way people consume the content, fundamental differences in what my podcast audience desires from my content versus my broadcast audience in its car in the morning listening in real time. Fundamental differences in what they need from that content. And so there should be a lot of audience research on this. There should be a lot of product evolution, the pace of evolution in this. Maybe the greatest threat to success for people is because it changes monthly, weekly, daily, perhaps. And being able to have a strategic vision that takes a long enough view to be strategic and that will support a company, and still being nimble enough to execute that, that's a huge challenge, and getting huger by the day, and having the proper mix of those skills and competencies is going to be critical to the success of anybody in the media business, not just radio broadcasters.
Speaking of radio, still for the moment, though, say we've got folks like, you know, NPR, one of the biggest names out there. You know, they take their content, they put it on, it's available for time shifting. Now, what are they going to have to be thinking about differently? Because you have a background in public radio. Mm-hmm. So what is public radio going to have to do different to kind of keep up with this? Because this is something that's, you know, a lot of people go there now, but, you know, will they continue to go just because of the name? You know, they're going to have to stay for something else.
Well, branding is huge. Important, as you point out, people go because the name, they go, this is familiar, they go because I can trust this. But being the existing big brand, whether it's a commercial or a non-commercial brand, isn't enough, as your question also implies. Who knew about Google 10 years ago? You know, who knew about Yahoo? And now you hear people saying they are the next owners of the universe. So, you know, the new brand can come along if it offers the new service that people have to have. In the case of Google, it was the magnificent search. In the case of Yahoo, it started out as search and quickly became aggregating and personalizing and customizing content. Who will be the next brand that does that for people? Well, if all you want to do is provide content to all these other aggregators, your brand strategy will need to be one kind. And if what you want to be is the aggregator and the owner of the experience, then you have to have a different kind of brand strategy. But I used to hear people say, oh, in the world of the internet, brand isn't important. I think in the world of the internet, brand becomes even more important. But not a guarantor of success. But hugely important.
It sounds like there could be a little danger from fame then.
You can never just depend. A brand must always be supported by the goods. And every brand that's ever seen itself rot from the inside out has proven that to us. So it's hugely critical, and it's a tremendous asset, but it is never enough. Never enough. And yeah, if you do it wrong, you can wreck the brand. So many, many pitfalls, tremendous opportunities, as everyone who's out there is counting on.
Laura Behrens from Gartner, thanks for talking with us on PodTech News.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Gartner analyst Laura Behrens on the future of radio. We spoke with her at the CES show in Las Vegas. For PodTech News, I'm Michael Johnson.